Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld. This program is about the evolution of our soul, our spirit, where we're moving towards as awakened beings. And I'm so happy to have back with me today a good friend and a very well-known author in Europe, Lorna Byrne, and she has a beautiful new book called Love from Heaven, Practicing Compassion for Yourself and Others. Hi, Lorna. Good to see you.
Hi, it's actually great to see you, Alan. I think it has been 3, 4, maybe 5 years, has it? It's been a long time.
And our interviews on YouTube get a lot of hits. A lot of people watch those. So I'm going to be hosting an event with Lorna at the Open Center on February 23rd. So go to the Open Center to get tickets. And Lorna is a beautiful being to see in person because you can see, I'm just talking to the audience, that she's tapped into these other levels. She will see angels, the guardian angels. She has a level of seeing that's beyond most people. Although I was going to ask you, Lorna, can most people have this if they desire it?
I think most people, you know, if you go in search of it within yourself, I believe everyone does connect to the guardian angel, and they may not see the guardian angel physically, but, you know, they can feel the sensation of the guardian angel around them and just recognize things. And then sometimes when a person may meditate or just close their eyes and not even be thinking in that way, and suddenly within their meditation, they see the guardian angel or hear the guardian angel's name.
I have to say, if you read Lorna's first book, Angels in My Hair, she talks all about her visions of guardian angels and how really your parents thought you were retarded because you would just have these and you wouldn't know how to speak about it. Is that right?
Yeah. When I was a child, the angels used to say to me, you know, I couldn't tell my parents. So I actually, nobody knew till I actually wrote the book Angels in My Hair. And as you know, it came a number one bestseller in Europe, which was absolutely fantastic. But they just said to me to keep it a secret that I couldn't tell anyone. And I'm dyslexic. Did I pronounce it properly?
Dyslexic.
I've been trying all these years. And because of that, way back in Ireland then, you have to remember it was back in the 50s or so, if a child showed any signs of being slow in any way, they were just branded retarded. So that's what happened. And I know I always tell this the same story, but it was when I was maybe 2 or 2.5 and I was playing with my little brother.
Yeah.
And I know you've heard the story.
It's a great story. Yes.
You know, I was playing with him in front of the fire with blocks, and it was, you know, our hands touched, went into each other. And I wasn't sure whether mine went into his or his went into mine. And it just exploded, just sparks everywhere and such love. And it was at that moment that the angels said to me, they were angels and my little brother was a soul, and that he died before I was born. And of course, you have to remember my age. I didn't know that. Here I was kind of, okay, but he's my little brother. You know, it didn't make any difference to me. But sometimes, you know, I would see him asleep in my mom's arms when she was asleep in the chair. But he would only be an infant. He wouldn't be as old as I was or older. And I have met him several times after that. So I thank God for that.
They're always around, you're saying, these spirits of our loved ones.
They are, and I'm always telling people, you can sense the presence of the soul of a loved one more at the moment and at this present time than you would your guardian angel. Because you have to remember, if you were close to somebody, you knew everything about them. You knew their smell, you knew their emotions, the way they felt. And so that when they come in around you, they can touch you with that. And you feel it. You know, the way somebody would say, I could feel my little girl around me, or I could feel my granny, or, you know, and they give us so many signs. But again, it's your guardian angel that allows the soul of your loved one in and around you. But the soul of your loved one comes and goes. It doesn't, sometimes we think they stay there all the time, but they actually don't.
They have stuff to do, you're saying.
Yes, they're busy enough.
So the loved ones of all of us are coming and going, but I guess it's what you're saying, the feeling is the same. Like, you know, you have a feeling about someone in your life now. That feeling doesn't change if they pass over. It's that same feeling.
It is more or less that same feeling, I will say that, because a soul will never, your loved one won't ever allow you to feel, you know, maybe a time they were annoyed or angry. They always want you to feel peace and compassion. They want you to feel their love. Mm-hmm. So it's a little different that way. You know, sometimes when someone says they felt the warmth.
Right. So it's always love, but I feel love from different people in different ways, right? Would it be that quality of love?
Yeah. So it would be whatever way you would feel it from that person.
Mm, yeah.
You know, but it would be, in a sense, gentler and softer. Mm-hmm. It would have no human flaws in it or no malice in it, if you would use that word.
Right. Because when you're on the other side, it's just pure love. People don't go through the lower emotions there.
I've never found that. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't say, you know, agree with everyone else just because everyone else says it. If I haven't found that myself, if the angels and God haven't shown me that, mm-hmm. you know, like one time my soul was being taken to heaven and I was on what I call the stairway. Uh-huh. And no soul was going through torment of emotions or anything like that. There was great joy of all of the souls going to heaven, but yet they were in heaven because you were already there.
We're in heaven, you know? Right now, you're saying?
No, the souls of the loved ones were there already. Uh-huh. You know, so I think we have to try and remember that, and love is so important. You have to remember, that's why I wrote the book Love from Heaven. Mm. You know, I was kind of a bit scared to write it because, you know, the angels, you know, said, well, this is what God wants you to do. I always remember Archangel Michael saying that. And I just said, but if I start talking about the soul and that the soul is pure love and that each and every one of us are actually pure love and it is that radiant light inside of us, that we are all trying to communicate. You yourself, even, Alan, are trying to communicate with the spiritual side of you. And that's what the spiritual side of you is.
Is love. It is love.
Is love. And it's pure. It's that spark of light of God. And it's inside everyone. And that's what makes us, as human beings, more human than we ever possibly could. And that's why we feel so much emotion. And yet we lock away love when we should be letting it out. Because I always remember the first time the angels showed me a little boy when I was a child myself. Mm-hmm. And they said, Lorna, look at the band around his chest. And it looked like, you know, maybe about 2 inches in width, roughly. And it just looked like ice. You know, and it just kept on tightening. And I couldn't understand why that little boy was feeling so hurt. I felt great sadness for him. I felt his pain and hurt. And I said to the angels, I wrote it in my pocket. And I said, I wish I had a sweet so I could give it to him.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
in the book,
to make him happy.
Right.
And that's what we're all meant to do, is release that love that is inside of us. And I don't know about in America, but I'm sure it is the same in America. But in Ireland here, when everybody was growing up, and still even nowadays, you're told that it's wrong to love yourself. Mm. You know, that it's selfish and mean. And it's not selfish or mean, because you can't love anyone any more than you love yourself.
Mm. I've heard people say that, of course. Lots of people have said that. But so to love yourself, some people think, is to be selfish, but you're not saying that.
No, no, it's not. Like, a person knows when they're being selfish. Mm. You know, I had to say to somebody, listen, go out and have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, or go out in your garden, or, you know, give yourself a little treat, whether it's even, you know, washing your hair. You know, it can be something so simple, or meet a friend. Mm. Don't feel selfish or mean about it. It's okay to love yourself. You are pure love. You're entitled to love yourself.
Yeah, that's why we're here. Anita Morjani wrote that beautiful book, Love Yourself Into Life. Did you?
I didn't know that now, but that's...
You met
that,
her.
Those words are correct. You know, love yourself into life. And that helps you, in the words he used, to release your soul, to allow your soul to come forward, and to allow you to become more spiritual and intertwined with your human self than you ever did before. Because when you do that, you will feel more, what way could I put it, happier and more peaceful. And you actually start to see life more clearly, because here in Europe, loads of people have worked on the lessons that are in the book. And they have said it has changed things for them. They're happier. And now they can see where they're going. Because if you don't love yourself, you can't see where you're going. You're depressed, you're down, you hate, you're angry. Mm. It's all of those things. And I think the world needs love today.
Yes.
To stop us feeling that way.
More than ever, they need love, because it seems like, well, you know, the political situation here has lost a level of love. I know you really liked Obama. And we'll talk about this a little bit at the Open Center too, but
yeah, it seems okay.
Like, I mean, we could talk about it now. It seems like the...
No, we talk about it at the Open Center.
We'll talk about it at the
can't talk about everything here, but
okay.
I'm really looking forward to some of the interesting questions you will have to ask. That maybe someone else hasn't asked before, and especially for America, because, you know, I'm flying over, I think, on the 19th. So I think I arrive the next day or whatever way, because I know the time. Mm-hmm. But I know when the plane doors open, all the people will get up, and their guardian angels and all of the other angels that are going to be on the plane. But I know as I step out, it's going to look so different than anywhere else in the world. And to me, that is incredible. The energy of America is so, so different.
Why is that?
I know I could see you. I suppose you have to remember you have been gathered from all over the world.
We're a country of immigrants. It's true.
Exactly. But you are a new nation.
Mm.
You have just been born. And yous are so important to the world, and yous have such a huge role to play. And I think that's why God held back the book Love from Heaven, not to be published till now, because I just seeing all that has happened, I don't know how to explain it, but I understand deep down inside of myself why.
I understand it too now, because we need love now more than ever. And Lorna's latest book, Love from Heaven, Practicing Compassion for Yourself and Others, is all about love. It's all about this, well, loving others. I love the story you tell when you first saw the energy of love between your mother and father. It looked like a mist. Do you still see that with people?
I do on different, okay. I don't see it enough. That's the thing. That's how... You know, most people only allow their love to come forward a little bit, you know, and that's their soul coming forward. Like, I had often been asked, you know, do you ever see anyone's soul come forward? And it's really so rare. And sometimes if you do, it's only a tiny little bit, because we're afraid, and we shouldn't be. Like, you shouldn't be.
I'm not afraid to lie. I mean, how am I doing? Here, I'll send you some love. Let's see.
Say that again.
I'll send you some love and you can see.
Okay, well, I'm sending you lots of love as well and everybody over there.
You have a lot of love. You're very non-judgmental, and I think you're really someone, because of your experience and your vision, sees everyone's soul, and you know their soul is good, really.
Yeah, like everyone's soul is pure, is good, and can't be contaminated, even though people have been taught it can be, and they can say, you know, that's why that person is so bad, or that person has done something, you know, that is really wrong, so their soul is contaminated. But your soul can't be contaminated, because it is pure love, because it's that speck, that spark of light of God, that radiant light that's inside you, ready to jump forward and intertwine with your human body. I can't wait for that day, because the sooner we let that happen, everyone will see their own guardian angel. Mm. Everyone will see everything I see. And so much will change so rapidly. But, you know, you have the power, the people of the world have the power to do that. And I can only do my little bit is tell you all about it.
Well, it's a big thing, because you're leading the way with your clarity and vision. But when you see someone who has this band across their heart, and it's a defense, it's a protective thing, because they've been hurt.
Yeah.
So, but how do we help people who've been hurt overcome that hurt?
I think you have to say to them, you know, you love them and you're there for them. And just reach out slowly, because sometimes when someone has been hurt so badly, or even a little bit, like, they pull back. You know, do you ever notice people do this? They pull back, you know. And it's like, just say, it's all right, I love you. And even if they don't respond to it, that's okay, because you've said it. You know, I always remember the first time in an audience, I think there was 500 or 600 people there. And I asked them all, you know, when did they last, or have they ever said to their parents, their mom, their dad, they love them? And it was kind of a shock, because so many of them said, but my parents never said it to me. And I had asked them, would they, you know, when they get home, or, you know, make that phone call and say to their mom and dad, I love you. And it was actually the interviewer beside me. She sent me a message the next day, and she said, you know, my mom and myself never said in our lives that we love each other. And she did it that night on the phone, and her mom cried down the phone saying, I love you. I was just always afraid. Like, why should you be afraid to say, I love you?
Well,
and allow that love to come forward and wrap around each other.
Well, I say it now to my mother, but it's difficult, because I feel I've been hurt by whatever. So it's like, I'll say it, but it's not, it doesn't just flow out.
You have to force it.
Of course, well, I do love my mother, because she has given me a lot of love, and but there's been a lot of other stuff there.
Things,
so,
yeah.
But I'm saying it, but still, it doesn't come so easily.
Yeah, no, I never realized it would be so hard for people to say, I love you. Mm. It's, to me, I'm astonished by that. Or even children, or an adult of 20 or 30 or even 60 saying, you know, no one ever said they loved me. Or, you know, my parents have never said that, and I have never said it to my parents. Or a husband and wife, and you ask them, you know, when did you say last you love each other? And they look at you and they say, maybe on our wedding day, but aww, since then, no. And, you know, you have to. You have to do that, because a man needs to know that their partner loves them.
Yes, everybody. When someone just acknowledges me for doing a video, it gives me courage. It gives me power and energy.
Power.
It's like,
like,
oh, okay, I'm glad someone's out there believing me in me and sending me love. And that gives me more energy, to keep going.
Yeah, and it fills you with hope and delight, and it helps you to move forward and see that you can achieve things. And in doing that, you yourself give out more love.
So is love the essence of our soul? It's who we are?
Yes. That is who we are. That is the spiritual being. And the spiritual being inside of us has such power. You know, we don't, I have to smile because mankind doesn't realize, you know, if you would only reach in and connect with your soul and allow that love to come forward, you know, and then that intertwining and that power that you would have, you know, I have written sometimes things about the future.
Yeah.
You know, and seeing what human beings are doing in the future. You know, now some of them are bad where we haven't, but an awful lot of them are good. So I'm always praying for the good. And, you know, one is you know, I always tell this one, is just seeing children out playing and their feet not even touching the ground. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and they, you know, making, what would I say, how can I say it, drawing plants to help them to grow. You know, with their hands in that way, and crossing a river without a bridge. Mm. You know, all of the things that we will be able to do when we allow our soul to come forward, that spiritual side of ourselves, that love, and for it to intertwine, and we won't be getting sick.
We don't be.
You know, there'll be no sick and no achy bones and
because
all that.
Because illness comes from the parts of ourselves we haven't loved. Is that what you're saying?
No, some of our illnesses at the moment are diseases in the world.
Okay.
Our human body isn't perfect, but it is only when the soul and the human body intertwine, it's like become one. I call it intertwine, but then it won't get sick.
Mm, right. So how do we actually do love ourselves? How do we do it? I mean, we're talking about it, but what's the practice?
I have seven different ways, and I won't give you the whole seven, but
because they're all in the book. Right.
They're all in the book. But one of the ways is if you have a photograph of yourself when you were a baby, It's handy just to stick it up somewhere. You could stick it up on your computer screen. Yeah. And every time you glance at it, just remember, I'm pure love. I was born pure love, uncontaminated in any way. Mm-hmm. And reminding yourself that you want to get back to that. Mm-hmm. To that, you know, pure love of yourself, for your soul to intertwine. And remind yourself another is, you know, that you're deserving of love.
Yes, we are. You know, that's a hard one. That's a good one to remember.
Okay. Yeah, and that it's okay to love yourself.
And I deserve
it. Yeah, you're deserving of love, and it's okay to love yourself. And reminding you that there is abundance of love in your life. Like people miss that love.
Mm. So do you think there'll be a time when the planet lives like that, where everyone comes from love? Do you see that as possible?
I do see that. And our planet, our world will be more interesting because we will have changed completely. It's like, you'll be able to see all the things I see. And of course, I don't tell you.
You don't tell us half the things.
Very
you see.
Little.
I know. You do see a lot more than you say, because I know you could see right into people's bodies if you wanted to.
You know, so it's, you know, I'm just doing what God has asked me. And I know this time has been chosen for Love from Heaven to be published in America. And I know you can get through all of this.
Yes, we can.
You have to conquer the hate and anger you feel at the moment.
Is that why it exists, to show us that it's there? Otherwise, we just bury it? Is that why we're going through this, to show us how much?
Well, it's not just in America. There is huge changes. There's changes all over the world.
Yeah.
And I'm praying, and I believe that, you know, we have to pray for those we don't even agree with, those right. we might give out about.
Yes.
You know, we have to pray and ask for them that they'll make the right decisions for the rest of us. We have to help to guide them. And of course, I get into trouble all the time when I say things like that. They say, how could you say that? And, you know, that person should be thrown into jail, or that person should be, you know, done away with. And but you can't, because that's not allowing your love out. That's not loving yourself. That's only growing more hate. And hate, what would you say, seeds fear. You know, and can put fear before hate, and that's all we become, and our world will turn out to be a horrible, bitter place. So we have to sow the seed of love, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, you are doing it. You're not trying to. You're doing your part by being who you are, by following your guidance, by writing these beautiful books. Because just reading this book, Love from Heaven, you start to feel more in touch with what love is. That's what I'm feeling as I'm reading it now. I'll finish it by the time I see you in person, but I'm feeling that love. You're actually, it's in your words, in the writing itself.
Mm. Well, I have to say, you know, I did feel scared about writing it, as I said before.
Well, scared, you know?
Yeah, because most of the time when you talk about love, a lot of people just kind of, what would you say, or go away, you know, she's only talking about love. But I suppose I'm talking about love in a very deep way. It is talking about love in a very deep and personal way within the book, for it to connect with every person that reads it, and for every person in a sense to go out into the world and to start to use the ways to help them to love themselves more, so they can love others more.
But it's scary.
Even the stranger.
But it's scary for you, because what are you afraid of? That you'll be judged?
That's a hard question to answer. It is being ridiculed and judged, and saying, you know, all that she talks about love. But I don't just talk about love. I talk about so many, many other things.
But
a lot of us don't think how important love is.
But that's the part I want to talk to you about, not for your maybe personal lesson, but when people ridicule us and judge us, we take that on and we tend to love ourselves less. So I think maybe the fear you were feeling was that challenge to your own love. And if we really love ourselves, if we truly, truly love ourselves, it wouldn't matter.
That's the thing. Even myself, I have locked away some of that love.
Don't lock it away, Lorna.
I have, you know, but I'd have to remind myself, no, it's okay. And that's what we all have to do. If someone says something that hurts you, just say to yourself, it's okay. It's all right. It's not that they're angry with me, really. It is themselves. It's where they are. And it is in a way not to take it personal, and still tell them you love them.
But is this part of
I know it's very hard to do.
It is.
But
it
you
is.
Can do it.
But is this part of what we're here to experience as human beings, this challenge to our own soul love, you know, to love ourselves even if people are judging us? Is that part of being human?
Yeah, I think it is that challenge of becoming a spiritual being. It is, you know, of allowing our human self, and it's our human self that's in denial. Like, the world is in denial, but yet, you know, people are interested and hungry and thirsty, and people will laugh and ridicule, but behind closed doors, they may not. You know, I've met lots of people who would say they would laugh and snigger and ridicule, and they would say, but secretly they're interested. Secretly they want to know that there is more to life.
Well, secret, every, not even secret, everybody wants love. Every, this is everybody.
And everybody wants it. You know, like I have even spoken in the book about I call it romantic love because I can't pronounce the word properly.
Romantic love.
Yeah, I let you say that word. I call it romantic.
Well, romantic's a very nice way of referring to it. But you mean love between a couple, like that kind of...
How important it is. And those angels that I see that deliberately do everything possible to bring a couple together. And then sometimes, you know, watching them and they telling me, you know, it's not working today, but we'll try again tomorrow.
My angels? Where are those? No. For me.
Why, do you want some romantic angels around you?
I love some romantics.
I will ask.
Okay. I mean, I've had them occasionally, but yes, it would be nice. Yes, ask.
I will ask.
But so you're saying there's romantic angels around or romantic angels?
Yeah.
Around?
Yeah.
There's particular angels that deal
particular,
with that.
A particular angel that... you know, helps people to join together in that way, to open up and not to be afraid, to take the chance on love. And sometimes you know, those particular angels have often shown me, you know, a couple where maybe the girl or the guy, and they may tell me that they are made for each other, mm-hmm. but one of them thinks the other is not good enough or doesn't look well enough mm-hmm. or doesn't like something about them, and this couldn't be my true love, and walks off and leaves them. Mm-hmm. Romantic love is precious. You know, even if you only have it for a short time, you know, there's always a chance you will get it again.
Is it more special than love in general? I mean, it opens us up, but then it also hurts when it leaves, you know.
Love is love. It really is all of the same love. But humanly, we have a human connection we need. And to us human beings, romantic love, we have put it in a box. It's separate from everything else.
Exactly.
And we look on it as the most important love of all.
Yes.
But it's there for each and every one of us, but so many times we turn it away.
So how do we stay open to that kind of love?
I always say, take the chance. If you see someone you like, say hello. Like I have, you know, watched the angels, you know, the romantic angels with someone, you know, across the bar and someone the far side and, you know, and the angels saying, you know, they're meant to say hello to each other. They recognize each other to see, but they always pass by because they're afraid of being rejected.
Right.
And you have to remember, sometimes when you go up to someone and you say, listen, would you like to come out for a drink or something like that, or a cup of tea? I don't know what you do in America, but lots of times people will say no. I always say, ask again, because sometimes a person is shocked.
Oh, good one.
And they're over, you know, oh God, no, I'm going to see my mother. I'm going shopping with my friend. Now it's different if they turn around and say, I have rings on my finger, you know,
right.
that's different, but
right.
you would have noticed it beforehand.
Yeah. You're right. Yes.
You know, so I always say, give it a second go.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's good. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
That little piece. But every love can have that same intensity, love for your...
Every single love can have that same intensity.
But we make that special with that. And then, of course, it flares up and dies out and it's gone because...
And that happens sometimes. Sometimes one or the other, you know... falls out of love with someone, yes, in that romantic love. And the thing is, you should say to yourself, that's okay. It was precious when I had it.
But it does hurt.
Even though it's hard.
It does hurt.
Of course it hurts. But listen, it's not love if it doesn't hurt.
Oh, really?
It's not love if it doesn't hurt. Right. And that's what you have to remember. You know, lots of people avoid romantic love and yet they're craving for it.
Exactly.
And they say, I'm not going to go into a relationship because I'm going to get hurt.
Right. That's not a good
But that's what love is. Love is sharing and caring. Love is all the ups and downs, all the pain, but all the happiness and joy as well. It comes mixed. It never comes just all love, if you know what I mean.
It's not just that way. The honeymoon,
it comes
you're saying.
Mixed.
The honeymoon ends at some point, right? Yes.
Well, not always. It depends on how you allow yourself. Like, I always loved Joe.
Yes, your husband.
That never died.
And you still love him.
I still love him. And all those ups and downs and all the hurt and pain, I wouldn't change it for the world. Mm. And that's what you have to remember about romantic love. It is full of all of the things. If it's only full of, and you never feel hurt or pain, well, then it's like, you know, it's not true love.
It's a fantasy. It's a projection.
Yeah.
It's not real.
Yeah.
Right. So do angels feel, I mean, angels are love, but do they have the range of feelings that humans have?
No, they don't. They don't even eat or drink.
They don't.
You know, they will pretend.
They're missing out, you know.
Yeah.
You should tell them
that. But they have such love for us. And they're creatures God created long ago. And the thing is for us to remember that we are more than any angel ever right. could be because of that speck of light, because of that love, because of our soul.
Because angels don't have a soul in the same way humans.
No.
They don't have a soul. No. But they have something, though, that makes them.
Oh, they have whatever God gave them when he created them. But they're not part of God in the same way as we are. It's like, you know, God took, if you had your hand and you could take a little piece of yourself.
Right.
And put it into a human and it fills every part of them and it glows. It's that spark. It's like, that's not in an angel, but God created angels. It's like he took something else and molded them, created them.
They're like robots in a sense. Or, I mean, not in an impersonal way, but
I wouldn't say that because I know so many of them personally.
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to insult your friend. No, I mean, I'm sure they're aspects of God, of that love, but they're not here to struggle or to evolve the same way we are.
And they will never evolve any more than they are. That's the first time anyone ever asked that question, by the way.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever written it in a book either.
Let's write a book about that. No, because I think that's interesting that they're really here to help us with our own love as servants of a God force.
Yeah.
But they're not here to evolve themselves. That's interesting. And our journey is one of evolution of the soul. Because I think as the soul evolves, God itself, whatever that means to people, evolves with us, as us.
Well, the soul doesn't need to evolve. It is the human being that needs to evolve.
But what is the human being without the soul, though?
God suddenly decided to take the soul away from everyone, how would I say? We wouldn't be human anymore.
Yes.
We would be... I think I wrote it in one of the books, but we would be worse than the animals of the world I don't even want to think of it.
No, it's okay. That's what I'm saying. The soul seems so much a part of being human because without it, we're not human.
Yeah.
But the human being as a kind of reflection maybe of the soul is what is here to evolve. Is that what you maybe would say?
I don't want to say anything wrong or anything like that. You know, I don't know why God fell in love with us long ago when we didn't have a soul. Like, I don't know why. And yes, he did. There was something he saw in us, in the creation he had made. And he didn't see the same thing in the trees, in the rivers, in the animals even, you know, or in anything else he made beyond our own planet.
So do animals not have souls? And they have something, right?
No, they don't have souls. But if like if you love an animal,
yes,
and you've cared for it, God will have that animal in heaven for you when you get there.
Because some people do see their animals.
You know, I think I have written it in Love from Heaven about, you know, the old man's dog and all the love the old man gives the dog. And that love, the dog soaks up and reflects back. Mm. And the more we love an animal, the more it will do that. And it doesn't matter what kind of animal it is.
Mm. Have you ever looked at the dolphins or whales? I'm just curious because they're very human-like. Yeah. Do they have something that's different than other animals? Or
no, I haven't noticed, just that they, when they come in contact with us, mm-hmm. I guess they know. You have to remember, animals, you know, they have this sense of, they use one of the senses that we don't use to survive. So when they come in contact with human beings, they want to please us because they feel that love we're giving them, that laughter, that joy, that reaching out, that contact in that way. So they will keep coming back and love and looking for it and wanting to learn as well order to please us.
Yeah, wanting to absorb it too. I know when I come home, my cat sits on my shoes and, you know, absorbs my energies and sometimes even sits on my computer. It's like what's mine, what's like personal to me, my cat will just be with that. I guess that's why, because it's absorbing parts of me in a nice way.
In a nice way, and that's important. And I'm really looking forward to just chatting with you in the Open Center now. Like, great. You know, so we'll I'm sure you'll have lots of interest questions.
Oh, I do. I have a lot of interesting questions. So maybe you can also do some exercises there with people that you have in the
room. Yeah.
And you know, because people like that kind of experiential.
Yeah, no, I will do an exercise with them, and I may do a meditation at the beginning, just a 2-minute meditation or something. Mm. And I know I do the blessing afterwards.
Yes, your blessing is great.
Yeah, I'll give everyone a blessing. I was on, what was it, Christopher's, you know, the talk show there the other day.
I don't know.
And he was asking lots of interesting questions and everything like that. So I think it is 5 years since I have been in New York.
Really?
So
5 years?
Really? I think so. I think it is 4 or 5
years. This is your third book released in the U.S., right? You had Angels.
Yeah, but I have, I think I'm on my 6th or 7th book.
In Europe.
In Europe, yeah.
Right. And you're very big in Europe, huh?
Yeah, there's I'm published in so many languages. I know the last count was 32, and I think it's still 32 on the website. But there's loads more added.
But how does that make you feel? How has that affected you?
I think it's incredible because, you know, I'm dyslexic. I can't really read very well. I'm uneducated, but God and the angels have educated me in the way I need to be for the world today. And
but they have to,
you
say,
know, they said they would become bestsellers, but kind of humanly, I didn't believe it.
But now you do, kind of in shock.
You know,
but I have to say, people love you, Lorna, because of what you inspire in them. So they're sending their love to you by buying your books and reading your wisdom, because you're just delivering the message, you know, and they love you for that.
Yeah, I'm just delivering the message. And, you know, sometimes when you're in an airport, like the last time I was in the airport there heading to London, I was coming back from London, and I think I was in Heathrow Airport, and not very good with names, but, you know, I was queuing up for, you know, to get on the plane, and this young girl walking by with her family, I think she was about maybe 20 or something like that, and she just stopped me and said, "You're Lorna Byrne, thank you very much for giving me hope, something to believe in." And to me, just her saying that makes everything worth it. You know, when you hear from someone that you've changed their life for the better, you've given them back hope, back belief in themselves. You know, I think that's what it's all about, reaching out and helping others in every way I possibly can. But people do have to remember there's only one of me.
No, there's one of you. But
I'm doing my best.
You are doing great, and the books really do help. So you have more books coming out. I look forward. What are the titles that haven't been out in the U.S. yet? Which ones do you remember?
Stairways to Heaven.
What's that about?
Oh, that's another incredible book. So if the publishers take it, I'm not quite sure what publisher to give it to as yet.
Is that when you go to heaven, and when you were talking about you going to heaven?
Yeah, I think God's library is in it as well. I don't forget what's in each book. Like,
when you talked about your own stairway to heaven, how did that happen? You were going to heaven.
Sometimes, you know, Archangel Michael might come along, or one of the angels, and they just say, "Lorna, God wants you." And I could be anywhere, you know, and they just would say, you know, walk down the lane there, or go into the woods, or pull the car over. And they just reach in. That's the only way I can describe it.
They reach in.
Soul.
They take you, you're out, and it's like
they take my soul, yeah.
And what happens to you?
It's like as if they take my breath away. It is a little frightening, but I've got used to it.
And where do you go, though? What do you see?
I see all kinds of things, and I have written so much of it in the books. You know, I think... I'm not sure if there is something in Love from Heaven, because I've written another two books since then.
I know.
So I'm not sure. I'd get mixed up what's in what book. But even in the new book that is coming out in Europe in April, and it's called Angels at My Fingertips, that is full of so much new material and so many other secrets. Which I have to say, I was very sick when I was writing it. Oh. I'll share it with you. And I don't know how I wrote it. All as I can say, it's a miracle. And it was God and the angels. And when my daughter, Megan, who done the editing, you know, and she sent it to the publishers, and the publisher sent it back again, you know, looking for different things. And then my publisher editor saying he's coming over for 3 days. And when my daughter sent me the list she had sent to my publisher, I was actually in a state of shock.
Why?
Because I couldn't believe I had written so much and what I had written about. because I wasn't actually well. I'm only better now, believe it or not. So
you're looking very good. You're looking well.
Well, I just have to smile. Like, I wrote that book in a year. I don't know how I did it, as I said. Plus, I traveled, done loads of talks and everything. And I'm even writing a children's book at the moment as well.
But just tell me, when you go to heaven, what do you see? Like, what kind of things are you observing?
Sometimes it is like as if you're just in a big corridor and everything is white, but soft, but not clear. And the time I went to God's library, it was the angel just pulled back what I would call like a curtain, but like a silk curtain, like lace so fine. And just seeing this magnificent library, like nothing on earth.
Is this the library of the souls, what some people call the Akashic Records?
I wouldn't have the faintest idea. I call it God's library. You have to remember I can't read.
No, but what was in the library? Books. What kind of things were on the
It was like parts of it was the flooring seemed to be like what we would call marble, but it was so fine marble you could see through it. And I could see angels and souls underneath.
Wow.
I could see it. It was so, what would I say, so crystal clear and yet so like marble.
But what was
it's hard to describe.
I get a picture of that, but what was on the bookshelves? I'm interested.
On the bookshelf was absolutely loads of books, and there was angels there, and the tables and chairs and all of the symbols that were on the bookshelves as well. And they were all going through books, and there was holy men, I'd call them holy men, of other faiths there. Uh-huh. And even, I'm a Catholic, and even the apostles, some of the apostles there. But then there was the stairs. Mm-hmm. You will have to read it, because if I tell you what happens after that.
Well, it might be a couple of years before it gets published here. But I'll pick it up in the UK.
Well, you might be able to get it on Amazon.
Staircase in the library. And, okay, you don't have to tell us, but it was quite a surprise.
What happened that time was amazing.
Well, maybe you could tell us at the Open Center when we see
I might tell you another little bit.
All right. I'll remember to ask you that.
Well, okay.
Thank you, Lorna. It's always nice just to be with you because you're just sending love. Your work is about love.
Well, it is. It's about letting people know that they are pure love, and it's helping people to know that they have a guardian angel that never leaves them for one second and loves them again unconditionally. You know, and that has been very important to everybody. So I'm looking forward to being at the Open Center. I think it's the 23rd. I don't know what time.
I think it's around 7 o'clock. Yes, Lorna will be talking. I'll be interviewing her, hosting her, facilitating her love to come forward. But it always is there. And it's about her new book, Love from Heaven, Practicing Compassion for Yourself and Others. And you could get tickets if you go to the opencenterny.org. And you can pick up the book. You can pick it up before you get to the Open Center, which I recommend. And her other books, which are really beautiful, the ones I've read, Angels in My Hair and Message of Hope from the Angels. I have those two also. So
okay.
this one is somehow more immediate, more accessible as a feeling sensation of the parts I've read so far. So thank you for your work, Lorna.
Well, thank you, and I'll see you on the 23rd. Okay.
One more thing. What's your website? You have a website?
Oh, my website is LornaByrne.com. I'm not very good technically.
I know you. But I think it's Lorna Byrne, LORNABYN.
BYRNE.
You see, you do know how to spell.
I know how to spell it.
BYRNE. Thank you. I look forward to seeing you in person. We'll have a fun time at the Open Center, and I'm sending you lots of love, too.
Same here. And God bless. And see you soon.
Thanks for taking the time here. Bless you, too.
You're welcome.
This is Alan Steinfeld with Lorna Byrne for New Realities. If you want to reach me, go to my website, newrealities.com. You can hear
hear this podcast on bbsradio.com/newrealities. And please look up Lorna. She is a wealth of love and a force for good in the world. So thanks again. See you soon, Lorna.
Bye. God bless.